Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Happy Friday, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour Friday edition on the air from the Southern Bancorp Studio. Excuse me, in beautiful Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Cool outside, but the sky is absolutely blue. Glad you're with us today. Opening segment of our show is sponsored every day by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. And it's Friday night. I can't think of a better place to take your family for a great meal tonight than Dickie's. Or if you've got an upcoming event, make sure you see Dickie's for all your catering. Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation going to join us a little later in the program. Obviously, a lot swirling right now about basketball and the news that broke yesterday. And we're going to read here a statement in just a moment that was released by Jeremy McClain. I've had a lot of time to think about this, guys, and I'm going to say one thing that's factually, I believe, accurate. Some of the internet sleuths that we meet believe that player number 9 and 10 was reflective of their jersey numbers. I don't really think that's the case. Do you, Demo?
No, it's not the case. It's not the case. Of course, before getting into sitting with you two fine gentlemen, of course, my original goal is to go to law school, and that's still my ultimate goal is to go to law school. So I've read through a butt ton of those indictments before for schooling and stuff like that, and yes, that is not the case. I can confirm that.
But it's not number 9 and 10 on the jury.
Number 9.
And I've always considered myself pretty good in units of measurement, but I don't know how much a butt ton is exactly. But,
it's about as much as that shirt covers your stomach there.
We may have to put up another picture of Kelly.
No, please.
He's got the shirt on and his glasses.
Kelly's got a hockey jersey and his female glasses on.
It's from the Hibbing Blue Jackets.
But it looks like a monk's gown. That's how big it is.
Well, hockey jerseys are generally big anyway. And the Hibbing Blue Jackets.
That one must be an extra small.
Well, Michael just kind of, he knew a little bit about the Hibbing Blue Jackets, and he did say they generally have a weight problem in that state, so I don't know. That would be the insane state of Minnesota. Am I correct about that?
It actually is, yeah.
Which is the only state in 1984, I believe, that voted for Walter Mondale. Yeah.
They've now replaced California officially as the craziest corner of America.
This is Bob Dylan's hometown, though, Hibbing, Minnesota.
Is that right?
Yeah, Timothy Chalamet. Before he played, he was up there and spent a lot of time.
Why don't we get back on sports?
Okay.
Let's read Jeremy McClain's statement.
And this came out yesterday afternoon, shortly after this show concluded, and I'm quoting here from the Southern Miss Instagram, the Southern Miss X account, quote, "We were made aware this morning of federal charges brought against a former Southern Miss men's basketball player as part of a larger national sports betting investigation. The news is disappointing to everyone associated with Southern Miss athletics. Integrity of the game is important to anyone who loves college sports, and the university stands ready to assist in making sure incidents like these are removed from the competitive space in intercollegiate athletics." End quote. Jeremy McClain.
Well, I don't know what else anyone could expect him to say. Here's what I wanted to ask you guys, because I thought a lot about this last night and read everything I could find on it. You know what I think is the biggest problem? I think now the integrity of college basketball has been damaged. And I just think it's human nature that you're going to have people now watching college athletics and thinking to themselves, are they all giving 100%? I mean, is there somebody out there trying to shave the game? I just think that the potential damage to the credibility of college basketball could be really severe.
I don't think it's just basketball, though. I think when you inject NIL money and you're paying players at the college level, now at the professional level, you expect that. That's the way you're also more mature as a human being because you're older. But when you're dealing with much younger men who aren't as mature and don't understand why this guy is getting X amount of money and I'm only getting this amount and I feel like I'm just as important, you know, as he is, again, that question comes up is why should I try as hard when he's making more money? Let him, you know, and I always use the example of offensive linemen and quarterbacks. You know, as an offensive lineman, I'm not getting what he's getting. You know, why should I? It just when there's money involved in anything, there's a chance for all kinds of tomfoolery and just stuff to take place. And I don't know how you wash this away. And the fact that they were all mid-majors, that was discussed too, is that with the mid-majors, the NIL deals are not as big as some of the power conferences, and that a lot of these people who are associated in these gambling rings felt like because they're mid-majors, they would be able to fly under the radar. Yeah, more.
I think there's some legitimacy to that thing about the that they're not making the money the Power Five guys are, Damon. Do you place any validity on that?
Probably not. But, you know, I just think of that verse in 1 Timothy when it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. I don't know. That's just been raining in my head the past few weeks. You know, I wanted to go through some of the potential penalties that Southern Miss could face from this because I saw a lot of questions about that on social media. So when anything like this happens, of course, the NCAA will conduct their own investigation. So the potential penalties, I kind of wrote these out. Of course, you'll always have the potentiality of probation, which is when the NCAA, you know, places a program on probation. A period of heightened oversight is basically what that means. Scholarship reductions, which is, you know, losing scholarships in men's basketball, especially at the Group of Five level, would be just detrimental to that program. Postseason bans, that's probably more of a severe penalty that I doubt would happen in this case. I think recruiting restrictions could happen, and that's obviously limiting on official visits. And then vacating wins. If they determine that the games were involved in ineligible participation tied to manipulated performances, some wins could be vacated. So I think that one's a very big possibility.
But the two of those really wouldn't matter with Southern Miss. All right, so let's just, again, very hypothetically, say that the NCAA says that about Southern Miss, that Southern Miss is guilty of, or some players on Southern Miss are guilty of that. So what? You vacate some losses. You didn't go to any tournament anyway, right? Didn't go to the NCAA tournament. And if you do a postseason ban, the only team that would be affected would be the team that wins the Sun Belt Conference tournament every year. Yeah. So I don't think those would...
But you're looking at recruiting stuff and scholarship visits and stuff like that would be the most detrimental to the program.
But here's especially what's problematic, Damon. If this is the second violation, to use that term, you know, against Southern Miss in the past 15 years or whatever.
The Donnie Tindall one was a level one, right? Wasn't that a level one violation?
Well, he had a 10-year no-show clause. So
level one. So, I don't know if this would rise to the heights of a level one violation, which if it did, that would be the second, like you're saying, second level one violation in Spain.
And guys, let me interject here. Is that fair to the university that you had kids taking money on the side to blow games? I mean, is that fair to the university?
No, I think
that they're still inadequately responsible for it.
The difference, the biggest
even
difference,
if you can make that argument,
in the Tindall situation is that those mistakes were being made at the top, right? Blatant mistakes were being made at the top, where this certainly is just, like you mentioned, isolated incident with a player or two who in no way have any official capacity at the university.
Is there anyone who really believes that if Jeremy McClain or Jay Ladner had any wind of this taking place, they wouldn't have intervened and stopped it? Can anyone convince me otherwise? I don't, at this point, no.
No, I don't think so. The only thing that I would say would be whether or not they knew of it happening after the fact and then didn't say anything. That would be, the only other scenario where maybe that they could be tied to something. Not saying they did that, of course. I'm just saying I definitely am with you. There's no way during the moment, if they knew that was happening, they were like, yeah, that's fine. No, absolutely not. The thing is, I think where, you know, some more investigation has to happen is whether or not they knew after and didn't report.
But aren't grand juries supposed to be secret?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
who knows?
Who knows? Well, it's
just, not for me to figure out.
It's
that's
just terribly unfortunate.
It's sad.
And, it's
sad.
It's just really sad. And do you suppose we have our beliefs here, but we're not going to issue names because nothing is official. Do you suppose those players 9 and 10's names will be revealed eventually?
I doubt it. Normally, when you're looking at a federal indictment, unless they start adding more players, which is very possible, so they could do that. And if they were to add more players, then those players could get named. But I don't think from an independent investigation or anything like that outside of their investigation, those players will be named.
And when you look at the specific games that were outlined in that indictment, Southern Miss, their involvement was minimal compared to some schools like Tulane, for example. There were like 6 or 7 Tulane games that were listed.
Yeah.
Where it was just a couple of Southern Miss games. But it's still, according to the indictment,
I don't know that the statement from the Alabama State players might not have been as damaging as anything else, that it was just hard to blow the game.
That was so bad.
That's terrible. What are people on the internet saying about this?
Oh,
you can
gosh.
Only imagine. We'll talk to Heath Hinton about that coming up.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dima Mixon with you from the Southern Bancorp Studios. We enter the second segment of our program today, and that, of course, is sponsored by our good friends at Eagle Tire West. They're located on Highway 98 West next to Smith Motor Company. They sell premium Goodyear tire products, and they do full service auto and truck service work. Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. We hope that you'll do business with those fine folks. All right, Heath Hinton runs Big Gold Nation. We thought it would be maybe an opportune moment to reach out to him and just see what are you seeing on your site, Heath? What has been the fan reaction to this blockbuster story that broke yesterday?
I think, people are just kind of shocked right now, and I think people are looking for answers. I also think people are kind of looking at the timeline and, is whatever you say about Jay Ladner coaching, whatever, he's a Southern Miss. He's a guy from Southern Miss. He bleeds black and gold, and he does have integrity. And this happened while he was in the hospital. This happened while he was fighting for his life. And I think you're seeing a lot of people upset at that fact that players would take advantage of the head coach. I don't want to say take advantage, but with the head coach being in the hospital, and the situation we was in the hospital, that they would do this. I think that a lot of people are upset at that fact, and I think a lot of people are just looking for answers of why would you do this, and then a lot of people are also looking at reasons why they do it, and a lot of people are coming up with some pretty good reason why kids are doing it nowadays.
Do you think the insertion of this incredible amount of money into college football and sport, baseball, basketball, particularly basketball and football, in a way contributes to this? Kelly made kind of an interesting point that maybe they singled in on kids from Group of Five schools because they weren't getting as much money as the group, as the Power Five guys were. What's your thought about that, Heath?
I think there's some validity to that. I also think another reason why you go with a Group of Six schools is because when you're making crazy parlays for however many thousands of dollars you're doing it, if you're doing it with teams in the ACC, if you got a Duke, North Carolina, and you're doing it, red flags are going to go up. But if you're doing it against teams in the group of six, Tulane, Southern Miss, places like that, maybe the red flags don't go up and you can get away with it for longer. So yeah. I think both of those things could be true. I don't think the guys that were doing it were dumb by any stretch of the imagination. I think they had a plan and they got away with it for a while. So obviously it worked to a certain extent now they got called. But I think a lot of it has to do with you go after the smaller schools because not many people are paying attention to them.
Yeah. Heath, you know, basketball's been, I guess, the center of attention as far as NCAA investigations go for the past 10 years or whatever because of what happened with Donnie Tindall and now this. Just seems like basketball can never take a break, right? I mean, what are fans reacting to as far as, you know, you get excited about something that really hasn't been good outside of one season? You know, it, for me, I think this is more of a hard thing for fans now to get fans bought into a basketball team now.
Yeah, I think jaded. I think people get a little jaded to it. And they're just like, well, we're just – if this is the way it's going to be, then why should we go to the game? I understand that. I also think people are looking at it from an aspect of they see all these – and kind of take it from a player's – there's so much money being pushed into college sports now, but how many times do you see casinos sponsoring – colleges? You go look at a stadium and there's nothing but casino signs everywhere. So kids on the sideline are saying, hey, there's a casino sponsor. You know what? What's wrong with me getting some money from a guy betting at a casino? That's what I'm saying. So, and if you're a young kid and you're thinking like that, I mean, you can see where the thought process goes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're looking at it saying, all this money coming in, all we're playing, and we're going to get our fair share of that money. Now, is it right? Absolutely not. It's terrible. But you can see where the thought process would come from on that.
Yeah. Let me ask you this real quick. Did you see on your chat board, because I did see on some others, the immediate response by some people, and I should say this is very few people, the immediate response was to blame the athletic director and Jay Ladner. Did you see much of that on your side, Heath?
I didn't see blaming Jeremy or Jay Ladner. I don't look. If you want to talk about Jay Ladner, you kind of can't blame him because when it happened, he was in the hospital and fighting for his life. He did. That's what makes it so despicable to me is that kids took advantage of their head coach being in the hospital to do this.
Right.
Yeah. But here's
the despicable part to me.
But here's something else that we have to think about, though, you guys. We all have that one crazy relative, that one, you know, nutso person in our family that everybody seems to draw attention to. The fact that there's 19 other functional, decent people kind of gets swept aside.
You're that 20th person in your family.
I am, okay. For sure.
I just wanted to clarify.
But you know where I'm going with this is the one player who was – that's one player out of all these guys that – but so we have to be fair and reasonable. We can't indict the entire – and I'm not mean literally indict – but we can't indict the entire team based on...
No.
And let's be... And we also got to, you know, there was two more guys involved in this that were just named number nine, player number nine, number 10 for whatever reason. We don't know the reason. Maybe they're working with the federal government. You just don't know why their names were redacted in this. So we don't know. So we got to make sure that that's kind of pointed out, too. Yeah, you're right. It's not the whole team. It's just a few bad eggs.
But I want to ask you this. Let me ask you this. I don't mean to interrupt you here. There's a little bit of delay.
No,
I apologize for that. And I'm not saying this is the case. This is a question for you. Could this have been going on with apparently three players and other players on the team not begin to get a little suspicious?
I mean, yeah, you would think they would be suspicious. They would, but... You're not going to turn your own players in. You're a brotherhood. You just don't do it. Mm-hmm. And you hope, you know, other people don't get caught. I saw a thing. CBS put a thing out. wasn't that long ago where they interviewed a kid from Tulane who got caught a while back. And he talked about doing it, and actually it wasn't hard and how he got approached. And if you go find that, you should look it up. It's very interesting. But, yeah, you just don't want to – you don't want to believe it if you're players. And if you do believe it, it's a you just – as a player, your brother, you don't want to think that's happening.
And remember, we still live in a country where it has to be proven.
Yeah, that's yes. Exactly correct, yes.
I mean, it's got to be proven in the court of law. And these guys, you know, it's still not proven. These are allegations. Yeah. We don't know this for sure. They'll have their day in court.
But
the federal government's not going to come up with this if they don't have pretty good proof either. We all know the federal government, how they work.
The indictment did state, though, that the whole team stopped playing well in that second game. So it wasn't just three players. I mean, the three players were approached, but it did say that the whole team agreed to not play well.
The whole Southern Miss team?
That's what the indictment alleged.
Yeah, it did. But if you got three players playing bad, I mean, three of the five on the floor at one time, the whole team's going to play bad at that point. So, I mean, basketball's a game where one or two guys can make a huge difference to a whole team.
It's
a little different than baseball or football.
Yeah, there appears to be one big clue who one of the two unnamed people would be, and we're just not going to get into that. But
no.
The third person does remain sort of a mystery, more so than player number nine. Is that fair to say, player number 10?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's speculation. It's all speculation at this point. But, yeah, I mean, you can –
you kind of read between the lines a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you can deduce a little bit and come up with, you know, come up with some identities. I don't know that for sure. I'm not sure. Don't want to say their names.
No, you can't.
You don't want to do that. But I will say this. I have seen a lot of people say they were looking at the team and say, well, player number 9, number 10 must be guys who have the number 9, number 10 jersey.
Yeah.
No, that is not the case, people.
Well, we do have some highly sophisticated internet sleuths out there, Heath. And I think the one that deduced that surfaced and showed us his investigative skills. Hey, real quick.
That was incredible.
We got 30 seconds left.
Yes.
How hard will it be for the Southern Miss basketball program to shake this cloud off?
It's going to be difficult. And you know, Jay, it's hurting him. If you know Jay, you know he's hurting
right
now. Oh,
yeah, I'm sure.
And the team, because it's still Southern Miss team.
Yeah.
And it's going to be difficult, but they got to go out and play basketball. Now, there's two things could happen. Either it could tear a team down or it could build them up. And you're going to find out about this team if this team is a team that's going to come together and rally around this, or if it's a team that's going to let them defeat him. We're going to find out here pretty soon. So this can go one or two ways this season.
Right.
Hopefully it goes a good way, and for Jay it goes a good way.
I agree. All right, Heath, we're going to stay in touch with you about all this. We know you'll help stay on top of it, and we'll get you back on the show soon.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Heath Hinton, everybody. Big Gold Nation. On a brighter note, there's some great football about to take place. NFL playoffs, college championship game. We're going to jump down to New Orleans and kind of get an NFL update from Patrick McGee. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. Glad you're back. DBAT sponsoring this segment of the program. We appreciate all they do. They're on Hardy Street, state-of-the-art training facility for adults and kids. Any sport you like, they've got a pro down there that can help you be the best that you can be. Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but it's the new year. It's time to get a physical, check in with your doctor, be sure you get 2026 off as well as it can be health-wise. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. That's foresthealth.org. Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune, NFL playoffs kicking off tomorrow. Some irony, I think. Patrick, for those of us that follow the Saints, this thing kicks off with Buffalo at Seattle and Sean Payton.
Denver.
Denver. Sean Payton has done everything the Denver ownership hoped he would do. Has he not, Patrick? Short of winning the Super Bowl yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not shocked whatsoever. You know, he got the quarterback he needed in Nix. And, I mean, there's a lot of people comparing Tyler Shuck to Nix in a way. And I think there's something there to that. It'll be interesting to see what happens next year. But, yeah, I mean, Peyton got his quarterback, and he already had a decent roster to work with. And, you know, he's pushed a lot of the right buttons. He walked into a good situation. He's done a really good job.
Patrick, when we talk about Sean Payton going to Denver, what kind of refresh our memories as to what the Saints got in return for Sean Payton going to Denver? And who did those – I know it was draft picks, but who did the Saints wind up getting?
Oh, man. You love to ask these questions.
I'm sorry.
On top of my head.
But wasn't it like a first and a second rounder?
Yeah, I mean, the Saints got first round pick, number 29 overall, 2023, and 2024 second round pick.
Okay.
And a third round selection. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it was Trevor Penning.
Okay.
And that didn't exactly work out.
No.
No, that didn't happen.
What a trade.
Yeah.
Trading Sean Payton for Trevor Penning. Well, I guess, Patrick, Tyler Shuck, I mean, finished the season off really great. I don't think we've had you on for a while. I mean, really, I think give Saints fans a little bit of hope going into the offseason for next year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think many people are arguing that Tyler Shuck was the best rookie quarterback in the NFL this season. I think Dart had some good moments. He also was part of a bad team. But shoot, Tyler Shuck was the only rookie quarterback in that bunch that won more games than he lost. And he was playing, with a team that was pretty decimated with injuries and a lot of key positions. And it was a bad team that was decimated. And Shuck at times carried the team. I mean, there were moments where you're thinking and you're watching what he's doing and some of the throws he's making. I'm like, am I seeing what I'm seeing? Because he looked that good. He looked like a guy that come next year, if he continues to progress, he's a Pro Bowl guy. And a lot of people thought he was the best quarterback in the NFC South this year, regardless of his status. So, yeah, I mean, there is certainly reason. It's going to help the Saints recruit free agents. It makes the draft easier. It feels like Shuck's the guy that they can really kind of hitch their wagon to for a good 6 or 7 years if he continues to progress. There have been rookie quarterbacks that regressed in year number two, but there's just so many factors that really give you confidence in the direction that he's taking.
So, what do you think they're going to go after this draft? Like, what is going to be on the table here, round one?
Well, I mean, Shuck panning out and being like the obvious guy makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
They can take the best guy available in a way at number eight. Love the running back from Notre Dame is somebody that people like to talk about. But then they also, then there's also some thoughts that they could go to the pass rusher. Get another edge. Cam Jordan's maybe got one more year left or something. He played really well this year, but it's hard to really see him going past one or two more seasons in the NFL, and there's no sure thing that he's even going to be with the Saints next year. So I think edge rusher would make some sense, but if you want to build around Tyler Shuck, I think you need to go out and get another offensive weapon, and it feels like Alvin Kamara's career is kind of hit a point where he's certainly on the decline. And they need to get a running back in there that can be that weapon to pair with Shuck.
Well, and certainly Shuck needs to stand on his feet where he can throw the ball. So how much emphasis will there be on enhancing not only talent but depth on the offensive line to protect this new kid?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to have to do that mainly through free agency. That's kind of my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
They've invested, Kelvin Banks, left tackle, really promising first year. Out of Texas, he was really good. You got Fuaga, another first-round pick. He's been moved over to right tackle. I think he's somebody that's going to continue to get better. His season was okay. I think he'll be fine. And if you could just keep McCoy healthy at center, you're going to be pretty good. You just got to fill those spots and build a little more depth on line. I thought the offensive line coach this year did a good job. Amos Gasby at the moment. But I think the offensive line wasn't great this year, but they overcame some serious injuries to put Shuck in a chance in a position to win some games.
And actually, when you look at where the Saints are compared to the rest of the NFC South, they're sitting pretty good because you got half of the teams are going to have new coaches. So you'd think that there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period there for those teams. And as it turns out, the Saints only finished a couple of three games out of first place in the NFC South.
I think I read somewhere where if they would have beaten the Dolphins, they would have been in the playoffs or something.
Well, I mean, they had to beat the Falcons.
So
they lost to the Falcons twice in the season. That's going to sting. But both, the Saints were basically out there with their third string surrounding Chuck in that final game. But I mean, there were a lot of people. You know, if the Saints were somewhat healthy there late in the year, I mean, they would have been far and away the best team in the division. It just wasn't the case. I mean, you got to be healthy throughout the season. This is a trend for the Saints, and they just have too many critical injuries. So yeah, going into next year, I think the Saints, I think a lot of people, I think they're going to be a popular preseason pick to win the division. Whether they do that, I don't know, but you could see that team easily at the very least around the 500 mark a year from now.
Yeah, definite improvement. There wasn't any question. All right, so we're heading to the weekend, Patrick. Do you think there's a clear cut favorite now to get to the Super Bowl? It seems to me that maybe the playoffs are as wide open as they've been in a long time.
Yeah, it feels that. I thought last year was pretty wide open, and that's again the case this year. I think if I can't really point, you know, I like the Seahawks. Heck, their quarterback's a little banged up, Darnold. I just don't know who's going to come out of it. I'm not going to pretend the Patriots were so good throughout the year. But I mean, you still got a young quarterback. Is he going to step up against a, you know, a really good defense that the Texans have? There's just a lot of things that there's no Chiefs that you point to. The Eagles are out. You just don't know. It's really kind of an unusual situation where you don't know who that team is that's the favorite.
Well, I'll say this, guys, and you guys, any of you can jump in here. I had not seen Houston play or Texas play until the playoff game last weekend, and I don't think, Patrick, I've seen a better defensive team than they have, and that gives them a chance.
Yeah, and Stroud, the quarterback, was a little bit not his best this year. He took a step back, but it didn't really matter. I mean, they're still playing this year because that defensive front made the Steelers look like, you know, they were, you know, like they were playing against Louisiana Monroe out there or something. I mean, they just whooped their butts up front. Yeah. It was really embarrassing when the Steelers got beat.
Now, there's an insult, Patrick. I'm just going to point that out to you.
I think the Rams and Seahawks will be in the NFC division, like the championship game. But I think the Texans could definitely come out of the AFC.
Wouldn't that be a story?
Yeah,
I think they started out 0-3.
I wouldn't sleep on the Bills either. This seems to be like Josh Allen's kind of time without Mahomes in there.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't sleep on the Bills either.
Yeah, but the Bills defense.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. The Bills finally sneak through in this year where not many people kind of gave them a shot entering the playoffs.
I just don't think their defense is good enough. I just don't think Buffalo's defense is good enough and consistent enough to go all the way.
Well, Patrick, I tell you, another team, I think you mentioned them, but they don't really get a lot of publicity because they play on the West Coast. We don't see them here much in this part of the country, but somebody's going to have to beat Seattle. Seattle's been really good this year.
Yeah, I mean, of the teams I saw the Saints play this year, I think Seattle impressed me as much as anybody. Mm-hmm. Darnold played really well. They have really young, talented young guys at the skill positions on offense. Yeah, so I think the Seahawks are Kubiak, the old Saints offensive coordinator, has done a great job there. So, but you got the 49ers lingering out there, and that's a really good team. So they got to get through the 49ers first.
But I think that just proves your point, Bob. Mm-hmm. Like we just named like five, six teams, and all could win
good,
it, and they're all
good
in it. So. Yeah.
Patrick, speaking of,
I'm not buying the Bears. I think that's the one team that's kind of a pretender.
Or I don't buy Denver either.
I think you're right about that,
Patrick. You mentioned Kubiak. Does he land on his feet again as a head coach somewhere this cycle?
I think he's close. Maybe he's another year away. His career's been he's kind of bounced around a little bit, had some success and dipped on occasion. But yeah, I think Kubiak. I think people liked what he did with the Saints in the 1 year that he was there with really nothing to work with. That early in season, you thought the Saints had the best offense in the NFL. But now in Seattle, he's got a lot to work with. So he's done a great job, I think. Kubiak's going to be a head coach, but I don't know if he'll be this year.
All right, my friend. We always enjoy talking to you, and we'll get you back on the show real soon. Thank you, Patrick.
All right, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor at the Times-Picayune. There's basketball to play this weekend, both men and women. We're going to talk about that.
And before the Major League Baseball season even starts, it might already be over. Yeah. And we'll tell you why.
MCS Home Center reminds you to see them for home projects, lawn and garden projects. They've got everything you need. For whatever you want to do on your property at MCS Home Center in Bellevue, it's a beautiful store. It's Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks running it too. 7329 Highway 98 West. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. 4th Street Barn Grill sponsors the last segment of the program every day. It'd be a great place to go get yourself a good sandwich and watch some football this weekend, as we were just talking, some great NFL games on tap. Got the championship game for college football on tap Monday night as well. All right, we appreciate all that 4th Street Barn Grill does. Bo Bay Beignet, good weekend stop, 2902 Hardy Street. Delicious beignets made to order as you come in and pick them up. And we hope you'll tell them that you heard about them on the Eagle Hour. And speaking of the Eagle Hour, our podcast is available every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri. We'll play the Eagle Hour for you. All right, Demon Mixon, news and notes.
Southern Miss women's basketball on the road at Arkansas State tomorrow, playing one of the better teams in the league after a nice road win at Texas State on Wednesday night, or actually morning. That was an 11 a.m. tip. But, yeah, so 2 p.m. tip over there at Texas State.
Arky State for the women.
For the women, and then the men are on the road at Texas State, and that's a 2 p.m. tip as well, trying to rebound from that kind of drubbing on Wednesday night at Troy. So those are the two Southern Miss sporting events. And then, of course, Monday is Southern Miss Baseball Media Day, in which we will be there. I'll be there for the paper. Bob, you're going to be there for here at the Eagle Hour. And a lot of great content coming to y'all next week.
So, say that again. What's happening Monday? Say that again.
I think it's Southern Miss Curling Media Day.
Curling? Yeah. Oh, I thought you said
that. Actually, Bob, don't you have the Mormon Tabernacle Choir queued up over there somewhere with the Hallelujah chorus?
No, I guess Michael took that away from me. I don't know. He should, though.
Normally.
He should put it back. It's that time of the year.
Yeah. I think after everything that's happened in the last few days, everybody just needs baseball season to get here.
Brother, I think that's probably truer than ever. So, obviously, the women are having a good year. They got a tough matchup. Be interesting to see how they play. Truth is, though, guys, they're not playing under this shadow that the men's team will be playing under. And, and you know, if you come off the loss to Troy and then you're dealt this blow, Dee McKelly, it's got to have some effect on these guys.
I will say I am glad that they're at least on the road. I think playing a home game, like, for example, if there was a game last night, right, on a Thursday night home game, I think that would have been tough. And then, you know, so I'm glad they're on this kind of road string while this is happening, where they can kind of, you know, put the noise aside and just go play basketball.
And none of these kids are. Right. And none of these kids are involved.
And I think they will respond favorably.
Right.
I really do. I think they'll take that as a, look, we're going to – this is not that Southern Miss team. It's none of the guys on that team. We're different, and we've got a shot. I still – and I – again, I don't want to pick this old scab, but when you look at the scheduling, all right, the women now play Arkansas State tomorrow, so they will already have finished the series – with Arkansas State, and we're not even 10 games like into the season schedule. The men, after playing Texas State tomorrow, they will have completed the series with Texas State, they will have completed the series with Louisiana, and they will have completed their series with Louisiana Monroe. So those are about the only three teams that Southern Miss has even played on the men's side. All right, so they still have all these other games to play, but Louisiana Monroe, and Arkansas State, done. already.
Yeah, and then you're going from West Texas to the East Coast in the next week. I mean, you know, it's just the schedule.
It could be worse. You could be in Conference USA and have to go from Delaware down to New Mexico State.
Well, it'll be interesting Monday to ask Coach Oz about scheduling, and I want to ask him his thoughts about the two best teams in the conference, Dima, Coastal and Southern Miss, clearly the two best baseball teams in the Sun Belt, not getting an opportunity to play.
He'll say, well, that's outside of our control. We're just here to focus on us. And what we are going to focus on is UC Santa Barbara in two, three Fridays from now. We're not concerned about the schedule. We're concerned about game one.
And really, honestly, that would be a question for Keith Gill.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, your two spotlight programs nationwide, both ranked in every poll. And you're not, you would know that prior to the season that both of those programs are going to be really good. So whoever's making the schedule.
Yeah, and you don't think that series would get some national publicity?
And talk about gates for each school.
Each school would just sell tickets like hotcakes.
Yeah, it just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
So I guess the only time they'll play is if they match up postseason.
I still think what the Sun Belt should do is leave the last weekend of the conference regular season completely open, right? And then whoever's number one plays number two. Whoever's number three plays number four. Whoever's number five, who plays number six. I think they should do that for football. I think they should do that for basketball. I think they should do that for baseball. I understand scheduling and stuff, like, you know,
you gotta
travel
be able,
and all that stuff would
hotel
be,
rooms
would
and...
be tougher. But even if you did it 2 weeks before, you know. It's not going to change that much in a week. All right, you had something about the Dodgers.
Yes. We were saying going into the break that even though the Major League Baseball season has started, it's essentially already over. The Dodgers, the LA Dodgers, the two-time world champion Dodgers, have signed Kyle Tucker, the free agent outfielder, to a five-year, $300 million contract. So now the top seven hitters. The top seven hitters for the Dodgers, one through seven, all of them all-stars.
Can I read their lineup as of now?
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Kyle Tucker, Will Smith, Max Muncy, Teoscar Hernandez, Andy Pages, Tommy Edman, and then you got Yamamoto, Snell, Ohtani, Glasnow, Sasaki, and Edwin Diaz as your closer.
For a total payroll bill of?
$2.8
billion. $2.8 billion. There's no salary cap in baseball.
To win baseball games. Also, no salary cap in college football.
Or at Super Talk. We're getting upgrades, right?
Absolutely no salary cap for you two. That is for sure. Have a happy, boy, they live in a fantasy world.
Yeah, no kidding.
Have a happy and safe weekend, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. Southern Myth.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.